Have you ever looked at the world around you and thought, is this really the best we can do? We're surrounded by incremental improvements. A slightly faster phone, a slightly more efficient car, a slightly better tasting soft drink. We're constantly going from 1 to 1.1. But what about the giant leaps? What about the inventions that seem to come out of nowhere and completely change the game? What does it take to go from nothing to something? From zero to one? This is the central question of Peter Thiel's provocative book, Zero to One: Notes on Startups, or How to Build the Future. Thiel, a co-founder of PayPal and one of the earliest investors in Facebook, argues that we've been trained to compete, to fight over existing markets, when we should be creating entirely new ones. He challenges us to stop copying what's been done before and start building the future. So, how do we do that? How do we move beyond the familiar and create something radically new? Thiel's core idea is the difference between vertical and horizontal progress. Horizontal progress, or going from one to N, is about copying things that work. Think of a restaurant. If you open a successful Italian restaurant, you can then open another one, and another one. You're expanding, but you're not creating something fundamentally new. This is the world of globalization, taking something that works in one place and making it work everywhere. Vertical progress, on the other hand, is what Thiel calls going from zero to one. This is where true innovation happens. It's the creation of something that has never existed before. The first typewriter, the first personal computer, the first social network. These were all zero to one inventions. They didn't just improve on an existing model. They created entirely new categories. This, Thiel argues, is the kind of progress we should be striving for. But if creating something new is so important, why don't more people do it? Thiel points to the lessons many learned from the dot-com crash of the late 90s. The bubble was a time of grand, often unfulfilled, visions. When it burst, the takeaway for many in the tech world was to think small, to make only incremental advances, to stay lean and flexible without a concrete plan, to improve on the competition, and to focus solely on the product, assuming a great product would sell itself. Thiel argues that these lessons are precisely the wrong ones to learn. He suggests the opposite is true. It's better to risk boldness than triviality. A bad plan is better than no plan at all. Competition is for losers. And sales matter just as much as your product. Let's talk about that a little more, because the idea that competition is for losers is one of the most controversial in the book. We're taught from a young age that competition is a good thing. It sharpens us, it drives prices down, it's the engine of capitalism. But Thiel turns this idea on its head. From a business perspective, he argues, competition is destructive. When you're competing with other businesses, your focus is on them. You're constantly looking over your shoulder, trying to undercut their prices or match their features. This leads to a race to the bottom, where profits are thin and there's no room for long-term thinking or big innovations. He uses the airline industry as a prime example. It's a huge industry that creates a lot of value for people, but it's also intensely competitive. The result? In 2012, the average airfare was $178, and the airlines made a measly 37 cents per passenger. Compare that to Google. In the same year, Google brought in $50 billion, more than all the U.S. airlines combined, and their profit margin was over 20%. Why? Because Google has a monopoly on search. Now, the word monopoly has a bad rap. We think of greedy companies that jack up prices and stifle innovation. But Thiel argues for a different kind of monopoly, a creative monopoly, a company that is so good at what it does that no other firm can offer a close substitute. These are the companies that can afford to think about the long term, to invest in research and development, and to treat their employees well. They have the freedom to innovate because they're not trapped in a day-to-day struggle for survival. So how do you build a monopoly? Thiel says it starts by dominating a small niche market. Don't try to capture 1% of a $100 billion market. That's a recipe for facing a lot of competition. Instead, try to capture 100% of a small market. This is exactly what Thiel and his partners did with PayPal. When they started, they didn't try to create a new payment system for the entire world. Their initial target was a tiny group of users, the high-volume power sellers, on a new but rapidly growing online auction site called eBay. These sellers were frustrated with the existing payment methods, which were slow and unreliable. PayPal offered them a solution that was 10 times better than the alternative. It was fast, easy to use, and all online. By focusing on this small, underserved market, PayPal was able to establish a strong foothold and then expand from there. They created a network effect. The more people who used PayPal, the more useful it became for everyone. This is a powerful advantage that is hard for competitors to overcome. Building a monopoly isn't just about having a great product. Thiel outlines 7 questions that he believes every startup must answer to be successful. Let's look at them through the lens of PayPal. First, the engineering question. Can you create breakthrough technology instead of just incremental improvements? PayPal's technology made it possible to send money via email, a concept that was revolutionary at the time. Second, the timing question. Is now the right time to start your particular business? In the late 90s, the internet was exploding and e-commerce was just taking off. The timing was perfect for an online payment system. Third, the monopoly question. Are you starting with a big share of a small market? As we saw, PayPal started by dominating the eBay power seller market. Fourth, the people question. Do you have the right team? The early PayPal team, often called the PayPal Mafia, included future founders of LinkedIn, YouTube, and Yelp. It was a group of incredibly talented and driven individuals. Fifth, the distribution question. Do you have a way to not just create, but deliver your product? PayPal didn't just build a great product. They figured out how to get it into the hands of their target customers through a clever referral program that paid people to sign up. Sixth, the durability question. Will your market position be defensible 10 and 20 years into the future? PayPal's network effects and brand created a strong, defensible position that has lasted for decades. And finally, the secret question. Have you identified a unique opportunity that others don't see? Thiel believes that every great business is built around a secret. PayPal's secret was that people were hungry for a way to pay each other online, and that a new currency could be created outside of the traditional banking system. Beyond these practical questions, Thiel argues for a particular mindset he calls definite optimism. He breaks down how we view the future into 4 categories. You can be a definite pessimist, believing the future will be bleak and preparing for it. You can be an indefinite pessimist, believing the future will be bleak but having no idea what to do about it. You can be an indefinite optimist, believing the future will be better but having no concrete plan to make it so. Or you can be a definite optimist. A definite optimist believes the future will be better than the present, but only if we plan and work to make it so. This was the mindset that built the Golden Gate Bridge and sent astronauts to the moon. It's a belief in bold plans and big visions. In today's world, Thiel argues, we're often trapped in a state of indefinite optimism. We believe in progress, but we're skeptical of grand plans. We prefer to iterate, to make small bets, to keep our options open. But this approach, Thiel warns, leads to a future that is, at best, a slightly modified version of the present. To create a truly different and better future, we need to have a clear vision and a definite plan for getting there. We need to be like the architects of the great cathedrals, who laid the foundations for structures they knew they might not live to see completed. So, what's the actionable takeaway from all of this? It's a challenge to think for yourself. Thiel's favorite interview question is, what important truth do very few people agree with you on? This question is designed to get at the heart of contrarian thinking. It's not about being different for the sake of being different. It's about seeing the world in a new way, identifying a hidden truth, a secret that can be the foundation of a new business, a new technology, a new way of doing things. The next time you find yourself in a meeting or brainstorming an idea, ask yourself, are we trying to go from 1 to 1.1, or are we trying to go from 0 to 1? Are we just copying what's already been done, or are we creating something truly new? The path from 0 to 1 is not easy. It's the path of the entrepreneur, the inventor, the visionary. It's a path that requires courage, conviction, and a belief in a future that is not yet written. But as Peter Thiel reminds us, it is the only path that leads to a future that is not just different, but better. The future is not something that happens to us. It's something we build, and the tools to build it are in our hands. The only question is, what will we create?